This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Obviously, we still miss our guy, Joe Freberg. Joe was amazing to us for so many years on legal issues. Joe left us earlier this year. We still have legal issues to discuss, and Joe's good friend Paul Applebaum has joined us multiple times. Paul is outstanding himself, and I've got a couple of cases legally, locally, that I want to discuss with Paul. Mr. Applebaum is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Paul, how are you today?
I'm fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Let's start with what's going on with the businesses going after Minneapolis and Mayor Fry. I'm going to look at Jeff Day's story, and it talks about, you know, George Floyd Square, those businesses, and last week the owners of Cup Foods filed a civil lawsuit in Hennepin County seeking $30 million in damages, arguing the city's action ruined the businesses and constituted an unlawful taking of their property. The lawsuit argues the business lost revenue, real estate value, and reputation, among other things, due to how the city handled the unrest after George Floyd was murdered in this area by Minneapolis police. Do these businesses, in particular Cup Foods, do they have a chance in this case?
I think they do. I was actually just coincidentally driving past Cup Foods about 2 weeks ago, and if I was a business owner in that neighborhood, I would be my attitude would be enough is enough. You know, they have businesses to run, and the climate around there is just, I get the whole emotional and political and psychological importance of that location, but these guys, there is absolutely no way they can have a viable business in that location going forward. And I was driving past there, and I literally, that shows you what a geek I am. I was thinking, you know, the city of Minneapolis effectively did a taking on their property by inaction, not by action, but by inaction, and letting everything that's gone on down there continue to go on. And so they basically have taken, whatever the English is, the businesses, and the city should be responsible. I think the lawyers are doing a smart thing by forcing the city to begin eminent domain. This is super inside baseball geeky.
Yep.
Law stuff.
But it matters, right, in understanding how they would do this.
So they would trigger an eminent domain action. Eminent domain is a vehicle where cities can just roll up to your business and say, we're going to take your business, and they give you notice and whatnot. And then it's just a battle of the experts over
how much, right?
Yeah, how much, what the value of the real estate is, what's the value of the businesses. I had one of these years ago in San Diego when the Padres were building a stadium down by the waterfront. Mm-hmm. And I represented a guy who had a huge recycling yard. And so it took forever. I was in San Diego for half a year. But
that must have been tough. Dave, this guy's pretty savvy. Get the cases where I got to spend 6 months in San Diego.
Long case? Ah, bummer.
Yeah.
I wasn't married. You know, it got rough down there.
Yeah, I bet it did, Paul. Yeah, it's really tough.
It got rough. Boy, oh boy, I wrote my mom every day.
So let me amplify this, because George Floyd's murdered. There is international outrage. We were talking about this the other day, because they still can't make a decision on what's going to happen with the square. And
right.
I put the over-under of that probably about 90 years from now. They'll still be debating it. I mean, there were months, if not years, Paul, where city of Minneapolis, police could not even go into the area.
Right.
Right?
No police.
And I get, right, again, there's still divide. George Floyd murdered. No, he wasn't murdered. It's fentanyl. Hero, not a hero. It was symbolic to people of color saying, this could have been me, and this type of behavior has happened decade after decade. So it resonated more, and I get that. But I was floored how long the city sat there and just said, well, we can't do anything. And it's been months since I drove down there. But I think it was in the spring, and I thought the same thing, Paul. I thought, how are you flourishing? You are punishing the businesses, including Cup Foods, where he used the counterfeit bill, right? And all they want to go back. I'm sure they still want to honor George Floyd in some way, but they want to have people go there and buy products at their store so they have a chance to succeed, and that hasn't happened. They have not had that opportunity since what took place.
And so my attitude towards it was, they have in effect, I don't know what the right verb is, but perpetrated a taking of the area by their inaction. Usually, can I tell you what's kind of flaky about this situation from a legal standpoint?
Yeah, for sure.
So the plaintiffs are, normally it's the municipality that rolls up on the business owners and says, we're going to take this a street or whatever, a stadium, and they initiate it. And then the businesses are just trying to get their fair value. This is what makes it a little bit unusual. The wrinkle is that the businesses are forcing the city to initiate the eminent domain. And that's quite different than the normal.
Has that worked, and has that been successful before? Is there any precedent for this?
Not sure about that, but I think this will work, because I think it's not possible that there isn't a lot of sympathy for the innocent business owners that are in that area. And if you go there, the place is like a dystopian, hellscape. And I used to live in that neighborhood, so I know the vibe and everything, but it is not conducive to commerce. Let's put it that way.
This is local attorney Paul Applebaum, who's going to serve us very well on different legal matters. Let me get to another part of the story. As Jeff Day writes, this comes 2 months after a Hampton County judge, Judge Wall, dismissed a civil lawsuit filed by the owners in 23 that sought $1.5 million damages from the city and Fry. The judge dismissed with prejudice claims of negligent nuisance against the city and claims the city charter had been violated, meaning they can't be refiled. Okay, is that an indication that this might be an uphill battle for the businesses?
I don't, Lord knows I filed a lot of complaints where half the claims got knocked out, but you go with what survives. I don't know that it's any indication besides that the judge looked at the claims and said, these don't fit with this factual situation. Like a negligence, to bring a claim against the city for negligence, I think it's a higher standard, so I think it's a pretty weak claim. I think this one might have legs, though. I really do. But it's just a matter of the forcing the city to begin the eminent domain. I mean, and so I think this judge is sympathetic to the situation. I think he didn't like the claims that were brought initially, and that really, you just regroup and figure out what's still viable, and then you go forward. I just think these people have just been devastated, the business owners, I mean.
Absolutely. Let's do this. Let me do this, because I want to get to this vasectomy case, too, because we talked about this before, And now we've got a ruling for $1.1 million. I'm going to get your analysis on this. This is Paul Applebaum. He's a very good local attorney. He's with us. Let's talk about the Excelsior parents when they thought, they have been told incorrectly, that a vasectomy had been effective. Guess what? They get pregnant years later, and now we have a decision for a significant amount of money. We'll get to that case in moments on CCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We discussed this case a couple weeks ago when I was getting ready to go to trial. Let's bring it up now because we have a decision. Remind you that local excellent attorney Paul Applebaum is still with us. We're talking about the Slatkowskis, Megan and Steve. They had kids before, decided we have kids, and we've decided we don't want to have any more kids. They work with Minnesota Urology, highly, highly respected here in town. Steve gets a vasectomy, brings back the semen. They said, all good, you can't have kids. Guess what happens? Years later, they get pregnant, and they sue Minnesota Urology, and after about a week or so of a trial, they end up with an award of $1.1 million to Megan, $450,000. That's for discomfort and embarrassment, emotional distress of Stephen, the father, $150,000, spousal services. It just kind of goes on and on, including the cost of raising their son to the age of 18, which was just under $400,000. It's complicated in a lot of ways, Paul, because when we talked about this, including with the audience, you're like, okay, how do you then explain to your child who was born, we love you, we're glad you're here, but we also sued the company that allowed you to be here, and we won $1.1 million. So Minnesota Urology has admitted that their former triage nurse, the nurse has since passed away, just misread the results. It wasn't like they were wrong. It was just somehow it said, by the way, you know, your semen is still active, or however we would phrase it, and should have said, no, we have to perform the vasectomy again, which I'm sure would have excited Steve a lot, but was wrong, just misread it. What are your thoughts on this and how they arrived at these costs to individuals involved when clearly Minnesota Urology, at least the employee, did make the mistake?
This case gives me a stomachache. It does. Because it's got so many profound issues that are attached to it that are not necessarily, you know, a medical malpractice case. I mean, it's just like,
because that's what they pursued, right? They pursued medical malpractice in this.
Right. Yep. And it's just like you think about just what you said. You explained to little baby, you know, X that, hey, we didn't watch it, but, you know, we made a nice score before you were born.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's just it seems like it couldn't be real. You know, and they did sue for punitive damages, which the judge threw out.
Yep.
So then they were left with compensatories, which are, as anybody with kids know, it's a substantial amount of dollars to raise a child properly.
Oh yeah.
And I won't tell you how many children I have over what, how many decades, but it gives me a stomachache. But it's just, it's, I mean, here's how you're going to win or lose that trial on your jury selection. And how do you weed out the jurors who are of the attitude that every life is sacred and no matter how your child comes to you,
it's a blessing.
You know,
it's a gift.
It's a blessing. Yeah,
yep.
It's a blessing. And how are you even introducing money into this whole equation? You should be thanking the folks. And so, and there are a significant percentage of people, and that's the way they see it. And then there's other ones, the other jurors who would say, it's my right to choose when and where I'm going to have children, and you took that away from me. And, you know, now I have to face these really profound decisions, whether to terminate the pregnancy or bring it to, you know, to fruition. And what are the costs attendant to all that? Because we didn't want any of this. So it's actually fascinating to think about it. And it would be hard to pick a jury. Wouldn't be hard, but you really have to work to get people's real attitudes towards these things, because it would affect whether the clinic is found liable and then what are the damages going to be. But a big victory came when they got the punitive damages claim dismissed.
Right. How would you go about trying to pick the, if you're representing the parents, how would you try to identify the ones who could potentially identify your side of this legal argument?
I think it's the other way around. You want to knock out the people that are cannot dispense with their bias towards your claim. You know, you really need to identify the outliers that just will not hear the evidence. Those are really usually adverse. You can tell the jurors who are hearing your messages. You have to punch through jurors where they say, I can be fair. And, you know, you've got to dig deeper. And I really am aggressive with stuff like that. I don't just take their word for it when there's an important issue. I had a trial not long ago, this summer, where an aspect of the case was homosexuality. And, you know, of course, everybody's saying, oh, I don't have a bias. And so I started to really get aggressive with people, because you have to know how they really see things. Because if they're not hearing your message, I don't care how good of a case you put in, you ain't going to win. But this is the same kind of case. It's just, God, when you think about the profound issues that were in this case, and it really is just kind of it's kind of a straightforward, you know, malpractice case. But what's in people's brains, you need to find out what they're really thinking, because you need to strike them for cause if they can't let go of their bias.
Just one more question on this. There's no doubt urology, Minnesota urology, screwed up, right? The family decided for business opportunities that the parents wanted to pursue. Also, maybe feeling like, hey, we have the kids we have now are healthy.
Mm-hmm.
This is a lot. This is daunting. Are you surprised that they ended up winning, and they won the $1.1
million? No.
How come?
I think because I think in the United States 2024, people accept that parents have the right to, I'm using this, I'm not trying to be flippant, but design their family, if you know what I mean. And if three kids was what they could afford financially, you know, to raise them without sacrificing you know, quality of life for the existing three, that's their prerogative. And, you know, they were misled. And I think those are arguments that resonate with most people, but you got to find those outliers that are lurking on the jury, that are going to gum up the works, you know, either in the jury room or in whatever. You just got to get at those people before you make your final jury selection. So no, I'm not surprised. And especially Minnesota, I mean, not, you know, it's a mixed bag, but most people are fairly progressive. I'm using that loosely, and would believe that parents get to design or decide the size of their family And what if they had very modest incomes? Another child is a huge, you know, a huge burden.
Let's be honest also, again, if you've decided that we're at the right number and they had three before and you have big plans and you feel like you did everything right.
Yep.
There's a lot of people who still would love every second of the time. They might not like all of it. Let's be honest. It's really hard, but they would love every second. But also say, wait a second. We went through this process and you didn't live up to your end. And by the way, your end was just reading a report from a document.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing if the vasectomy didn't work, which it didn't, and then they sued him because it didn't work. Well, get out of here. Then you can just have another vasectomy. This is just somebody made what appears to be just an honest mistake. I don't think anybody believes there was any malice to it. We all can make mistakes. This was a rather big one for this family.
And, you know, one of the things that they probably argued as far as punitives would be there should be safety mechanisms in place where there's, like, double checking, you know, when you're and then it becomes, you didn't want to spend the money to have a double affirmation of the, I don't know the right word, but of the tests and things like that. And, you know, it's like a business owner's nightmare, you know.
Yeah, that's correct.
Somebody at the bottom of the pile screws up, you know.
You're very good, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a good rest of the day. We'll reach out again soon.
Talk soon. Bye-bye.
Paul Applebaum on two very different cases. Jason DeRusha. He told us yesterday off air he was going to Murray's to drink.
Yes.
And wasn't sure he was going to make it back, and he might make it back, and he might be schnockered.
Stumbling up 7th.
While I was talking to Paul out of my peripheral, I saw him. I couldn't judge his balance, his gait. I don't know what we're getting.
I'm excited to find out.
I am. That's why I'm breaking on time. Can we start with this topic? Peen.
Sure.
Peen. Yeah. Had asparagus as a part of the meal back-to-back nights. I just peed during the break. I know the audience really wants to know. I have that smell from asparagus.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Do you?
Oh, yes.
Dave, do you?
I dislike asparagus. I don't eat it much.
Yeah. So you don't even know? What kind of answer is that? Answer the damn question.
Yeah, last time I had asparagus, I don't remember the pee being very pungent the next day.
Why is asparagus the one food that when we pee, we smell it?
Well, there is a scientific explanation for that.
Seems odd, though, right?
It's not the only food. It's unique food.
What other food? Without Googling it, you know, without
what other food that you kind of smell a little something?
There's nothing else. Like if I have like a pizza.
Liver and onions.
I can't tell. Like
gefilte fish.
I'm 0 for 2 on. I don't remember if I'm sure I've had them both.
Prove me wrong. You can't.
Gefilte fish sounds so foods that sound awful.
Mm.
But you might eat them. That sounds terrible. What do we have?
Well, this is according to WebMD that asparagus might be the most common reason for stinky pee.
Yeah.
The harmless odor is caused by a breakdown of asparagusic acid.
Come on.
Your genes. Sure.
Come on, scientists.
Whether you can smell the sulfur
genetic
byproducts.
Right.
If you can't, that is called asparagus.
No. No, it's
and
not.
Anosmia.
No.
What a coincidence that it's from asparagus food and then it's called asparagus acid.
One of God's little miracles.
What a break that is.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. So in other words, I'm right. There's no
Are there one, other foods
yeah,
that
no,
did you Google that?
You can't think of one. You went.
Why?
You
decided I just to go, gave two. Liver and onions.
You decided to go with two Jewish food treats for some reason. I don't know why. It was a bagel next or I don't know where you were going. What do you have, Dave Harrigan? Let's go to the
Let's go to the Google.
Let's go to the peeing desk.
This from Urology of Greater Atlanta.
Great people.
That's where you go.
Why not us? Well, I know this. We probably shouldn't go to Minnesota Urology right now. They're not on a roll.
They certainly do list asparagus as the number one with a bullet, but other foods and beverages that can also affect the
Sometimes
odor.
Sometimes you have a little beverage.
Brussels sprouts, onion, coffee, cumin, garlic, pineapple.
No, I'm no for all those. I love them all, but I never
love them, and they can make your You're in.
I know, but I never. Oh, there's the. Where's the cumin? You know.
Anyway, asparagus does make you smell. When my kids were younger, I thought maybe that would incentivize them
to have it.
To have asparagus, yep. Right? Like, go see what happens.
Yeah.
And it still did not work. You're like, they're boys. Like, let's see if being gross is part of raising boys.
To try to convince them to have a vegetable.
Correct.
How was your big event at Murray's?
Nice. Had a nice lunch.
Yeah.
Tim was there.
Tim was there. Did you tell him I said hello?
I did.
Yeah.
No. It was good. Like, you know. Where do you stand on, like, the martini for lunch? It used to be a cliche, the 2-3 martini lunch.
How many did you have?
None.
None. Okay.
I had a glass of wine.
Yeah.
Well, I have another topic on that as well, but that's probably an off-air conversation. Mm.
I'm not the biggest martini guy.
Oh, you don't like martini?
It's not that I don't like them.
It's just not your go-to.
It's not my go-to.
So if you could marry one
martini
cocktail.
Marry one cocktail.
What would your cocktail be?
I love the old fashioned.
Yeah.
That's it.
Wide variety and quality
in
old fashioned.
That's it. I think everybody.
It does make it fun to order.
Yeah.
Because some are good, some are not.
Yeah. And some really try to be different.
Yeah. Do you like the different or not?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. Also, some fall flat on their face, and you know what they would say to me? I fell flat on my face.
Yeah.
Because they would say their drink is good. How about you? You have to marry one drink.
Mm-hmm. Might be the daiquiri.
The daiquiri?
I think the daiquiri, people have this sort
too
of Caribbean.
Sweet.
Yeah, well, that's the gross daiquiri.
Yeah.
So a very good daiquiri, simple drink.
Yep.
Just rum, lime, sugar.
Yeah.
Getting it right.
Yeah.
Hard to do.
It's a lot of sugar.
Can be.
Yeah.
But, like, I think Meteor Bar has a terrific daiquiri. $10. Terrific.
In our town
I make
now,
them at home. Wonderful.
In our town now, $10 is not bad.
You know, I was thinking about this last night. I was at the opening of a new restaurant in St. Paul on Grand Avenue called Russell's.
Okay.
And Monday, we're at the opening of a restaurant called Minari. Somehow, like, apparently, all of you rich
Menards
people.
Menards has a restaurant.
Menards, yeah.
Dave, did you know that?
And it,
save big money?
Yeah. All the food that you can fit in the brown paper bag, if you send back
that should be rebate. 11%.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Minari. Okay.
Minari. Minari.
When are you not at a restaurant opening?
Well, that's what I'm saying. The rich people of Minnesota are
so
like.
I'm looking at one right here.
We're opening all these restaurants because we have made so much money in crypto over the last week. Like, let's just go. I don't know. It's like restaurant city. All of a sudden, all these restaurants. But I've been looking at the price of cocktails.
Yeah.
Because what would you say, like, standard, like, la-di-da kind of restaurant? Minneapolis.
$16-$17.
Agreed. $16-$17.
It's a lot.
Minari, or you get like the little where it's like a ounce and a half.
It's a joke.
Like, it's cute.
It's $5 and you're like, really?
So Minari in Northeast, everything was like 14, which like a Danny Del Prado affiliated restaurant, which he's got like Martina and Porzana.
Huge fan. Yep.
You're like 14? Pretty good.
Yeah,
like they know they're in Northeast. Then Russell's. In St. Paul on Grand Avenue, you're like, St. Paul, like, we're not going to be getting goofy here, are we? No, it was like more like 13. But that is still like sort of the,
so
that's
it
where
is,
we're at. Cocktails are expensive.
You think restaurants are better now being reflective
I think they're
of
keeping,
the area?
I just have noticed like the variety depending on where you are. Because it's just all you can get away with.
North Loop, $35.
Yeah.
North Loop, for some restaurants, they probably could.
When everybody upcharges the old fashioned because it's the most popular drink and you can sort of dress it up with a slightly more expensive bourbon.
That's what bugs me.
And
that
so you see the 15 to 20. I've seen a lot of $20 old fashioned.
Bugs me that the drink I like is as popular as it is.
I know.
I like being a little.
I do like a martini at a steakhouse. It feels right. I prefer an old man to take that martini.
Shake
the living daylights out of it.
I
want like the ice chips that like your regular.
And you want just a woman to serve it to you, but she can't make the drink. Is that what I'm hearing?
And just saying, like,
isn't that what you heard, Dave?
Spot on.
Yeah.
I mean, personally, I prefer to have a bunch of women with me also enjoying a martini. I don't think they should be serving me.
Yeah. Okay.
I like to dine with them.
Were you in the bar at Murray's or at a table?
A table in the bar.
Yeah.
There were five of us at this table.
Yeah. I think the Murray's bar has been a great upgrade.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah, when they remodeled in there.
Yeah.
And that's sort of a little hidden secret, I think, like on the way to a Twins game or a Wolves game.
I agree.
Pop in, have a great steak burger. I had a French dip in honor of National French Dip Day.
Get out of here, seriously.
Yeah.
I'm calling Tim Murray and asking that the French dip be removed.
I had a French dip. It was delicious.
My God. It's never delicious.
Now, where do you come down on splitting the check, though?
With five of you?
Mm-hmm. I had a French dip.
Yeah, okay, so that's very good.
How do you think things worked out for DeRussia today? Not great.
I'm not going to say who, but during the Wolves days, there's a very good friend of mine who would always order the lesser item and then go very, very low with how much money was thrown in the pot.
Where now everybody...
And it was awful.
Everybody puts in their card.
That's it, the card.
So the poor server.
Not this particular friend of mine. Never did that.
Never did that. It was just a cash situation.
Cash, and it was very low. Never commented for a tip.
I would feel bad. Like my father-in-law would go out. He's not a big drinker, but he would go out with friends who would drink. And
that's tough, right?
You do get a little hosed, and do you want to be that guy? Like, oh,
this guy would be that guy.
I only had a Diet Coke, so I'm going to put in
whatever. But sometimes
was that your father-in-law who visited us there briefly?
Sometimes you're with people who are ordering like
a lot,
or really expensive stuff, and now you got to pay one third of the bill.
I see Harrigan.
What would you do, Harrigan?
Stepping up. If let's say the three of us go out.
Mm-hmm. Where are we going?
And we're going to Murray's.
We're going to Murray's.
We're boozing it up. We split the silver butter knife. Okay.
I ordered a bottle of wine.
A bottle of wine, and I had four old fashions, and you had a Sprite, and maybe chicken tenders if they have them there.
Sounds good.
And we're like, we'll just split it.
Yeah, we're
three ways. Just go ahead.
What are you doing at that point?
Well, first of all, I'm showing up with a gift card, and secondly, I am handing it to the handing it to the staff saying, that'll be $13.50 on the gift card. I'll take the rest back.
That does not shock me. Dental visits, because you had one recently. He had one today.
Yeah.
Dental visits. That, the next aggressive topic on this whatever Dog and Pony radio show. Jason's going to take you home.
Sure. Why not?
Dave, you had a dentist appointment today, correct?
Ooh.
This morning, early.
Okay. How'd it go?
You had yours a couple days ago?
Yeah.
Okay. How did it go?
Teeth are in fine shape. I believe they said my mouth is immaculate. They've never seen anything like it.
Okay.
But now that I'm 7 hours or so past the point, I've realized something. I'm now on Team RFK Jr. I'm sick of the fluoride.
You're against
anti-fluoride?
I've still got the fluoride grit on my teeth. How long is this going to stay here?
The reports are in the last 20 minutes. He is going to be in charge of HHS.
Why do you get fluoride as an adult? As an adult, you get a fluoride treatment?
No, they offered it. They said, "Would you like fluoride?" Sure, why not? I guess
you just say yes. Like you're at the buffet, and it's like, do you want a
gravy? I mean, we get fresh potatoes.
Yeah,
sour cream.
Are you the guy that questions the dental hygienist?
I didn't realize RFK Jr. Was in the room.
I'm not. Why would I be getting?
I don't want your dang fluoride.
I feel like they don't give that to adults usually, do they?
My guy's Lee Lira. I'm trying to remember if I get an extra shot of fluoride. I don't think I do.
I don't think so. I'm the one. Like as an adult, in my file it says easy on the x-rays because I did a story years ago about radiation.
Oh.
And then so I'm doing a good question on the 10 o'clock news about radiation. Like, are we exposed to too much radiation? And the takeaway was like, you know, you probably don't need as many dental x-rays as we all get. And so I go to the dentist the next day and they're like, all right, we saw it.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, geez.
I've got the bag gag thing. So the x-rays for me are not fun.
I really love that. I flossed this morning because of because yesterday on the show, I had an interview about fluoride, and then, but the dental association guy was like, well, you should brush and you should floss. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to floss.
What a bold statement.
I'm not doing it.
Why?
Because I don't want to.
Okay.
And there's no
good answer.
Seriously.
So
Patriot right here.
So he's sticking it to Big Floss.
Yes. So then we come back and I do this whole like rant about Big Floss.
Yeah.
And how it's all just like Oral B and gum and all of those guys just trying. Where's the evidence? And there was some Harvard Medical School research. It said there is no evidence that floss, like, it's good, it cleans out whatever, but it doesn't lead to fewer cavities. And so this dentist calls up.
Like a year in between flossing? How often do you floss? I don't floss as much as I should.
So I floss every 6 months the night before my dentist appointment.
And whenever you have corn on the cob?
It's called cramming for an exam. Yeah, it's what I do. But then this morning I felt guilty because this woman who is a dentist, Sarah, I think was her name, called up and just like let me have it for not
this morning? And what called you at home?
No, just on the show.
Oh, okay.
And you can hear that on the Drive Time with DeRusha podcast.
Thank you. Thank you.
I was in the chair for about 8 seconds this morning before I got floss shaming number one.
Mm.
It was a theme throughout the appointment.
So they
at one point, okay, I got it. Okay.
Did they ask you? How often do you floss?
That's right standard. Away. That's standard.
Right. What do you answer truthfully or do you lie?
Well, I lied.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do you lie?
I didn't say I floss every day. I said a couple times a week. A
couple times.
You know, it's.
I think I give the standard response. I think that most people not enough. This guy goes, never.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hardliner.
Well, as I always ask, I'm like, do you bring your car to the car wash when it's pristine?
No.
Two people in this room claim their mouths are immaculate.
Well, mine isn't. I go to the hygienist for the car wash of the mouth.
Yeah. And then you think you're good for nine months.
6 months. She is so good, you know? Cleans that right up.
Is Alyssa aware of this? I mean, last time you kissed your wife, like 9 months ago or so?
You know what? There have been no complaints in that category.
Okay. Outside of peeing and dental work, what else do you have coming up?
Well, I don't know. I couldn't prepare for the show because I had to sit in here.
You were drinking and
that's whatever Cook says I need to talk about, I guess.
I think we'll talk a little canopy coming up here on an unprepared Drive Time with Jason.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.